Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Amen. Let's give all of them a hand of appreciation this morning. Amen. Give honor to whom honor is due, the Bible says. And so it's okay to every once in a while say thank you for what you're doing for the Lord. And we're glad that you're here this morning. Pastor and Sister Sherry are away, and they're having a great time from what I can tell, and enjoying their time in Hawaii. And I think we all ought to just jump on the plane, fly right over there with them. Amen. Show up, knock on their door. Hey, we're here. That would be a surprise, wouldn't it? Amen. But they're away for a few days, and that's good. It's good for Pastor to get away and relax. And he left somewhat sick. He wasn't feeling well that week. And I haven't heard anybody say how he was feeling. I've seen the pictures on Facebook, and so I'm thinking that he is feeling a lot better and enjoying himself. And we pray that they are. They'll be back soon, and he'll be back preaching for us as soon as he gets back in. And we're all looking forward to that. Ronnie Reed is a great preacher, great pastor, great man of God. And we're blessed and honored to have him pastoring us and taking care of us and having spiritual oversight of us. And I've traveled all over the state, and I've met many, many preachers and pastors. And I just want to tell you that we have one of the best right here in Crystal River. And we praise God for that. And we're looking forward to their time of coming back and being with us. Tonight is focus groups. If you have been attending, I just want to remind you that focus groups will be continuing tonight, so please come. If you've not found your place to come and focus in and get into a focus group, why don't you come tonight and find a place, find a group that you may fit in, and spend some time tonight building some relationships and fellowship. And Brother Rodney this morning, he has a class that they sort of analyze the pastor's message on Sunday morning. And so I came in this morning, I gave him my whole manuscript. And so I'm hoping he can handle it tonight. And so if the questions arise, I hope he can give it proper direction and say, hey, here's what Pastor meant. You know, maybe he didn't say that. Have you ever said something and it didn't come out exactly the way that you wanted it to come out, and didn't sound good when it came out? Well, sometimes we do that too as preachers. And so Rodney, take care of me tonight. Now, don't let them beat me up too much. All right. So, but if you have not plugged in, we have quite a few groups that meet on Sunday night, and surely there's a place that you can fit in, and we'd like to encourage you to come and be a part of the focus group. This morning, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8 and verse 10. It's a passage of scripture that you're very familiar with. You've heard this from time to time, I'm sure, at least part of this verse. Because I want to preach this morning on the joy of the Lord is my strength. And so look at that verse. I think they're going to put it up on the screen here in just a moment if you'd like to follow along there. But the scripture says, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, Father, add your blessings to the preaching and the reading of your word this morning. Lord, we need your help here today. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit to fill this house. Anoint the preaching, anoint the ears to hear, and may something be said today that will encourage someone to continue on and press on in their Christian experience and their walk with you. And Lord, if there's someone here today that's not a Christian, they're not saved, I pray that this morning they'll make the decision to serve the Lord. And we'll give you praise for all that you do. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. This scripture, we're pulling it out of a context that you probably have not read recently, and therefore some of the details leading up to the 10th verse you may not recall right off the top of your head this morning, unless you've been reading the book of Nehemiah this week. So let me give you a little of the background information that leads up to verse 10 and set the stage somewhat so that we can hear what the Lord has for us this morning in this service. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had come into Judah especially and had fought against Judah and had overcome them and conquered the city of Jerusalem. Now, if you go back and read the history of this, you will find out that he actually came maybe three different times and fought against Jerusalem, and especially the king of Jerusalem, and had overcome them. And his last trip there, he pretty well devastated the city of Jerusalem and had torn down the walls, destroyed the temple, and carried most of the people off to Babylon in captivity. And the only ones that were left when he had taken everyone away that he wanted, the only ones that were left were the very extreme poor people and those who were old and weak. So that the people that remained in Jerusalem were not able to do anything about the devastation of their city. All the all the strong men, all the able men, all the people that had strength that they could have rebuilt the walls and rebuilt their temple, all of those were gone, and they had all been taken into captivity into the land of Babylon. That's where we read about Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. Those were young men that had been taken as part of the captivity into Babylon and under the reign and the rule of Nebuchadnezzar. After quite a few years had expired, and if you go back and do some research on this, we talk about the 70 years of captivity in Babylon. Most correctly, though, I would think that it would mean 70 years that King Nebuchadnezzar reigned, because he reigned and was had conquered most of the lands and people around him, and that lasted for about 70 years. And often we talk about the 70 years of captivity that the Israelites spent in Babylon. But if you go back and do the chronology of that, we'll probably find out that they were actually there about 48 years, of 48 years of the captivity of, and the 70 years of King Nebuchadnezzar ruling over, Babylon and also Jerusalem and that land as well. Under the leadership of Ezra, who was a scribe and priest, and also Nehemiah, the people were allowed, when Cyrus the Persian came in and overcame Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian kingdom, Cyrus the Great came in and he signed a petition so that the Israelites could go back to Jerusalem and begin the task of rebuilding their walls and rebuilding their city and especially rebuilding the temple. So Ezra and Nehemiah both were very instrumental in the people coming back out of exile, back to their homeland, back to their city, back to the temple, so that they could restore their temple and restore the walls of Jerusalem. Now, they were there and they were doing this work, and they had pretty well finished the work of building the walls and restoring the city. And so it was a time that Ezra and Nehemiah felt like that they should stop their labor and spend some time just rejoicing in what God had done for them and what God was doing for them. So Nehemiah called a meeting of the people of the city, and they met at what was called the Water Gate. And there they all assembled together, and Ezra, the prophet, the scribe, began to read the book of the law of Moses. He read and explained the law. The Bible says that he read from morning till midday, which was about 5 or 6 hours. How would you have liked to have had that task? How would you have liked to have been the one who was going to read the word of the Lord or the law of the Lord for 5 or 6 hours? But this is what happened. And so Ezra was reading the word. He was reading the book of the law of Moses. And as he read, the Bible talks about Ezra was overcome by what he was reading and the word of the Lord. And every once in a while, Ezra would have to stop and just say, "Bless the Lord, the great God." And when he would do that, the Bible says that the glory of the Lord fell upon those who had gathered. And they began to say, "Amen, amen, amen." And they would lift their hands in praise. They would fall down before God on their faces and worship God. And Ezra said, and Nehemiah came and said, "Well, you have worshiped God. You have responded to the word. You have obeyed the word of God. You have repented and you have been broken before the Lord. And now we want you to lift up your hands. We want you to shout. We want you to give God glory, because this is the day that the Lord has brought deliverance and hope, and the joy of the Lord is your strength." Oh, hallelujah. And all the people in verse 9, it says, all the people wept when they heard the word of the Lord. And they repented, and they mourned, and they begged God. They pleaded with God for forgiveness. And God came, and his presence was manifested. And Ezra said, "Take your handkerchiefs and wipe away your tears, for it is time to rejoice." Can I tell you this morning, when you have fought the battle, when you have been toiling in life's troubles, and you've been plodding your way through life, there comes a time where you just need to lay the tools of your labor down and lift your hands toward heaven and give the God of the universe praise and glory and honor simply because of who he is. Somebody praise the Lord this morning. Somebody in this house give him praise and glory. They had labored, they had worked, they had toiled. But now Ezra and Nehemiah was calling the people together and saying, "It's time for you to rest and rejoice. It's time for you to cook some meals and eat some food and drink some beverage." And those that don't have any money to prepare things and take it to their house. And for 7 days, Rodney, they celebrated and they worshiped and they glorified God, because the joy of the Lord was their strength. Oh, I love Psalms 30 verse 5, when it says, "Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning." How many times have we been there? How many times have we wept through the night? We've wept through our experiences. We've wept through the troubles that have come our way. We've wept through our difficulties. But praise God, joy comes in the morning. I just want to tell you today that when you are struggling and you are pressing ahead and the way is hard, don't give up. Keep on pressing on, because the joy of the Lord will come in the morning. Amen. Joy comes to those who don't give up. Joy comes to those who don't quit. Joy comes to those who are willing to persevere and not cave in to the problems of life. I want to tell you this morning, the joy of the Lord will carry you through and will give you absolute victory. I found that it's the joy of the Lord that's pulled me through many difficulties. I found that it's been the joy of the Lord that has given me stability in the midst of the storms of life. I found that it's the joy of the Lord that has showed me light at the end of the tunnel. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been going down this dark tunnel and you're having trouble on every side and you can't see the daylight coming through? Oh, I want to tell you, when you look up and you see that little glimmer of light at the end of the tunnel, the joy of the Lord becomes my strength. Oh, when I see the light at the end of the tunnel, I know it's going to be all right. I know the devil's not going to win. I know that I don't have to give up. I don't have to quit. I'm going to press on, press my way through, because the Lord Jesus Christ is providing a light at the end of the tunnel, and therefore I have the joy of the Lord, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. It will help me to persevere and to make it through. It's the joy of the Lord that gives me courage when I'm tired and weak and I want to give up. Have you ever wanted to give up? Anybody here this morning, have you ever wanted? Give me some hands out there this morning. Let me know you're listening to me. Have you ever been through times when you just wanted to give up? You fought and you've struggled and you fought and you've done everything you can do and you're tired and you're weak and you don't know what else to do and you're about ready to throw up your hands and quit. But the joy of the Lord begins to swell up in your life and well up in your life, and the joy of the Lord gives you that perseverance to go on one more day and fight one more battle. You see, I want to tell you this morning that there's no problem too big for God's power. And there's nothing that you face in life that's too small for God's concern. You say, well, I've got big problems. Well, God knows about it. Well, you say, well, I don't want to bother anybody. My problems are not very bad. You know, they're not real significant. I know that it'll be okay eventually. And I don't want to bother God with my trivial stuff in life. I'm going to wait until the big things come. I'm going to wait until the doctor walks out and shakes his head and says, I'm sorry, there's nothing more I can do for you. You're going to die. Then I'll start calling on the name of the Lord and want God to know what I'm going through. But I'm here this morning to tell you that whatever you're facing today, whatever you're going through, it doesn't matter how big it is, God knows where you are, and God is more than able to come to you and rescue you and deliver you and make a way where there seems to be no way. But if your circumstances in life seems to be trivial and small and you think it's insignificant, I want you to know there's a God in heaven who knows the trivial things that you're going through in life, and he's just as concerned about the little things that you're facing as well as the big things that you're facing. Oh, he's a God who understands where we are, and he has the ability and the strength and the power to give us grace for every situation. Amen. What a great God we serve. What a great God we serve today. There is no problem too big for him, and there is nothing too small for him not to know about where you're living. There are three words that I want to share with you for just a moment. I call them the three brothers because they are inseparable. And I was thinking, well, how can I illustrate that? And I thought, well, Larry, Moe, and Curly. The three stooges. I know some of you young folks don't know who the Three Stooges are, but the rest of us, we know the Three Stooges, Moe, Larry, and Curly. And if you notice one thing about them, when you watch their comedy on television or whatever, they were always together. They were always inseparable, right? Wherever you saw one, the others would always show up somewhere along the way. Amen. To carry on their frivolity and their joking and so forth. They were always together. But there are three words that I think always connect one to the other, and they're inseparable. Let's look at those. Faith, hope, and joy. a few weeks ago, just recently, I preached a message on hope. And I tried to emphasize to you that regardless of what you're going through, there's always hope. Hope will help you to press on. Hope will help you to come through your difficulties. Hope, I started to bring my rope of hope back this morning. And I thought, well, it'd be neat if I could sort of just wrap it around my body and button my coat up so nobody could see it. And then just sort of open my coat and whip that thing out. You know. The rope of hope. Now, it was just a rope. It had no spiritual significance except that it stood for hope. It stood for the fact that we can touch something. We can hold on to something. Sometimes the foundation upon which you're standing feels like it's crumbling from under your feet, and you feel like that you have nothing to hold on to, but there's always hope that you can reach out and get a hold of, and hope will carry you through. So you have faith, hope, and joy. Now, faith, in my thinking, and you can define it as you want to, but faith in my estimation this morning and for our purposes today simply means that I believe. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. It talks about the substance of faith is what we're looking for and we're experiencing in life, and faith is what we hold on to. That's essential for us to make it as a Christian. But faith simply means that we have something that we believe in, that we know is sure. Now, I want to tell you this morning that there are some things in life that are not so sure. But there are other things in life that we can connect to that we can know is absolutely sure. Now, what is that, Brother Cash? Well, first of all, I think the Word of God is absolutely sure. Amen. You can depend on it. The Word of God is true. The Word of God is eternal. The Word of God is sufficient. Amen. Whatever you have need of, whatever you're searching for in life, whatever questions you may have, if you read the Word of God, you'll find the answers. Amen. That's why we have the Holy Ghost in our life, because Jesus said when the Holy Ghost comes, He will guide you into all truth. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to hear some fable. I don't want to hear what some super-duper preacher may come by and say. I want to hear what the Word of God says. I want to connect with that which is true and solid and has a sure foundation. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will never pass away. What you promise and what you suggest, you may not fulfill, but what God promises, God always fulfills his word. Amen. And so faith then simply is believing that God is going to do what God has promised in His Word, that God is able to do what He has said in His Word. All the promises of God, if you believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Can I hear an amen? So faith is simply believing. I believe. Hope then becomes an atmosphere of expectancy. When we have hope, then we are expecting something to happen based on the fact that we believe. I believe it, so now I'm expecting God to do something. You understand what I'm saying? Hope is that expectation that God is going to do what you've asked him to do. And then there's that word joy. All three of these are hinged together, because in order to have a complete concept here, I think we must have faith, hope, and joy. Now, I know the Bible talks about faith, hope, and love, but this morning I'm substituting that word love for joy, because I think we need to have faith, hope, and joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy says that God is going to do it, and I believe it, and that settles it. I'm holding on. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to lose my hope. I'm not going to lose my confidence, because I believe that God is going to do exactly what He has promised to do. Therefore, I have the joy of the Lord. How can you have joy in the midst of trouble? Because you know that God somehow is going to come through. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know what, but I know that God will somehow make a way where there seems to be no way. I know that when God comes on the scene, something is going to happen. Amen. Nothing was happening in the tomb of Lazarus until Jesus showed up. But when Jesus showed up at the tomb of Lazarus, he who was dead came back to life and was shouting the victory as he came out of that tomb. Can you say praise to the Lord this morning? Because that's what I'm talking about. A confidence that God is going to work it out regardless of how I feel. I think too often we're motivated more by our feelings than our faith. Well, I just don't feel good today. I think I'm going to stay home. Well, I went to church this morning and I didn't feel a thing. I've heard all those comments. And that's hard to do around here, I guarantee you. You come to this church, you're going to feel something. Amen. Amen. But people make those comments. Well, I went to church and preacher preached and I didn't feel a thing. I didn't get nothing out of that this morning. You know why? Because you're looking for a feeling. You're coming expecting the pastor to lay his hands on you and pray for you, and you're going to fall out, and all of a sudden all your problems and all your troubles are going to disappear. I want to tell you, sometimes when you get up and walk out and get home, the problems that you came to church with, they're still there. But when you have the joy of the Lord, when the joy of the Lord has come in, you can go home and you don't have to worry about it, because you know you've given it to the Lord and God's going to take care of it, and God's going to send a remedy. God's going to bring help. God's going to bring deliverance. And those children that you thought never would get saved, God will save them and fill them with the power of His Holy Spirit. Woo! Glory to God. Just a little water break. You see, when joy comes, doubt disappears. Doubt disappears. Joy breaks the power of doubt. You know, we all get into that mindset every once in a while. Well, what if? What if I go to the doctor and I get a bad report? What if my car breaks down? What if I can't make my house payment? What if my children get in an automobile accident? What if? What if I go in Monday morning and they give me the pink slip and tell me they don't need me anymore and they send me home? What if? And sometimes we allow those what ifs to crowd into our life so that we can't see what God wants to do and what God is doing, because we're so consumed with the doubt, asking the question, what if? But I want to tell you, the joy of the Lord removes doubt. When joy comes, it takes away fear. You know, fear is a tool that the devil uses against us. Fear. Afraid. I'm afraid. What's going to happen in this world, Brother Cash? What's going on? What's going to happen in the next elections? Oh, God, I'm so sick of hearing all that mess. I wish it was here and over with. Amen, because I want to tell you something. It really doesn't matter who gets elected. Now, we could get together this morning and have us a nice focus group. And we could talk about the political ramifications of the world that we live in. What if Hillary Clinton gets elected as president? What if Donald Trump gets elected as president? What if Marcus Rubio gets elected as president? How's it going to be? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? I want to tell you this morning, I'm not worried about who's going to be elected as president, because I still believe there's a God in heaven who's still in control of this world, and bad times are going to come. We know that. We read the scripture and we understand that we're living in perilous times, and we know that there are things taking place today that's going to open the door for the Antichrist to come on the scene. And I want to tell you, That's not going to sneak in and pop out on you all of a sudden. Every day God is preparing this world that we live in for the appearance of that man called the Antichrist. You're not going to walk in one morning and turn your TV on and there he is and he's controlling the whole world. It's not going to happen that way. God is orchestrating the events of this world right now, so it doesn't matter who is in the presidency, who is in the White House. It doesn't matter because God is ultimately still in control of the affairs of this world, and God knows exactly what he's doing. It may not suit my fancy. It may not meet my political aspirations. It may not do everything that I want to see done, but I want you to know this morning that God is still in control of the affairs of this world. So I don't have to fear what's going to happen. I don't live in a box of fear. I don't live under the fear of the things that are happening, because the joy of the Lord that is in my heart and in my life helps me dispel the power of fear. When joy comes, the lies of the devil are dispelled. Oh yeah, we fight a real devil. He's not a figment of your imagination. He is not a symbol of evil, as some believe. Hell is a real place. The devil is a real person. And he's doing everything that he can to lie to you and deceive you and to cause you to miss the will of God and miss heaven. But when the joy of the Lord reigns in your spirit, the lies of the devil are dispelled and faith in God arises, and regardless of what the devil may say, you know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Whoo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We used to sing a song some years ago. It says, I have confidence. God is going to see me through. Whatever the case may be, God is going to fix it for me. That's what joy is all about, church. That's what I'm telling you this morning. When the joy of the Lord is in your life, you don't have to worry about things that are going to happen, because the joy is going to give you that stability and faith that you'll stand and walk forward and be a stalwart Christian just like God wants you to be. Now, where can you find this joy? I got to quit. It's time to go. Where can you find that joy? Psalm 16 verse 11 says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. You want joy? Get into the presence of God. And I want to tell you, God is in more places than just at church on Sunday morning. You know, we use this terminology sometimes, and it's okay. I'm not knocking what this says. Sometimes I hear people say, well, I'm going to church and I'm going to get my praise on. I want to tell you, there's something better than that. You can get your praise on before you get to church. You don't have to wait till you get to church to get your praise on. You don't have to wait to get to church to feel the presence of God. You don't have to wait until they crank up the music and sing your favorite song to get tuned into what God is doing. I want to tell you, you can find the presence of God coming to church on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night in your automobile, and you can have church before you get to church. Why? Because the presence of the Lord is wherever we seek Him and find Him and give Him praise. Woo! Hallelujah. I got to close. I got to bring this thing to an end. I wish I had time to elaborate on this and just tell you that if you want to find the presence of the Lord, one of the best places you can find Him is in church. Amen? One of the best places that you can find him is in church. And the Bible talks about that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Why is that? Because God knows that we need to come to church and find the presence of the Lord. Because when we find the presence of the Lord and we come into his presence and the glory of God begins to fall and our praises begin to go up, God begins to stir something in the atmosphere and something begins to happen in people's lives. And people that came in burdened have those burdens lifted. People who came in under the power of sin have the power of sin broken, and they leave this place knowing that they have been in the presence of the Lord. And not only that, but in the presence of God, God has done something supernatural in their life, and they go home feeling better, knowing that God is going to make a way. Woo! So going to church, being in church is very important. Let me close this by simply saying this. Joy will put a song in your heart. Too many of us are singing that old doom and gloom song. Woe is me. If I didn't have bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. Hee-haw. But joy will put a song in your heart. Joy will keep praise on your lips. When you have the joy of the Lord, you're going to praise the Lord. Well, hey, wait till you get to church, then praise the Lord. No, praise the Lord in all times. Praise him when you get up. Praise him when you go to bed. Praise him when you feel good. Praise him when you feel bad. Praise him when everything's going well. Praise him when everything is going bad. Praise him when you've got money. Praise him when you don't have any money. Praise him when you don't have any friends and you need a friend. Praise him. I said in everything, praise the Lord. And when you praise the Lord, you'll be in his presence and the joy of the Lord will give you strength. Whoo. I want to end this by simply saying, this, come on. This is the third ending, right? Third ending. I just want to tell you, don't lose your joy. You can lose your job, but don't lose your joy. You can lose your money, but don't lose your joy. You can lose your house, but don't lose your joy. You can lose your mind. And some of us have temporary acts of insanity. It crosses our mind. You can lose your mind, but don't lose your joy. You can lose your marriage, but don't lose your joy. You can lose your temper, but don't lose your joy. You can lose your friends, but don't lose your joy. You can lose your car, but don't lose your joy. You can lose your health, but don't lose your joy. You can lose your youthfulness. And get old like some of us. But I just want to declare, I'm not going to lose my joy. Amen. I'm not going to lose my joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Would you stand with me this morning? Lord, we thank you for the joy of the Lord. Lord, I thank you this morning that we've been reminded from your word that the joy of the Lord is significant. And the joy of the Lord is what we need. The joy of the Lord is what we've got to have. Lord, we don't need no super duper whooper whopper evangelist to come through. Lord, we just need you to show up. We need your presence. Because in your presence, there's fullness of joy. Lift your hands, church, all across this congregation this morning. Lift your hands and feel for his presence. Feel for his presence. Lift up your hands, lift up your heart, lift up your praise. Feel for the presence of the Lord in the house. For in his presence, there's fullness of joy. Lord, honor the preaching of your word this morning. Encourage someone that came in discouraged today. Lift up somebody that was downcast. Strengthen the weak, Lord. Fortify the children of God so that when we face opposition, we will not cave in, but we will have the joy of the Lord. Be with us, O Lord, I pray, and give us that joy today. In your presence, Lord, there's joy. While all the heads are bowed and every eye is closed, just wondering if there's anyone here this morning who needs to be saved.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m., and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.